Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Good morning, Tim.
And we appreciate you guys listening out there. And Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City. Good morning, Ray.
Hey, what's up, Tim? How you doing today?
Doing well. It's Tuesday. I didn't even remember.
June 13th.
Yeah, I always tell people what day it is because they depend on me for that.
And as everybody knows, this is my anniversary. My wife and I have been married 42 years.
God bless that lady.
Yes. Oh, yes. No, I fully
Amen.
Agree.
Hey, that deserves a hand clap.
Yes.
42 years
That's
of marriage.
Fabulous.
That's right.
Now, Ed, you have to be nice today.
Do I? I'm taking my wife out to lunch. What else does she want?
Yeah, that McDonald's anniversary meal is
That's right.
more than a happy meal, isn't it?
Let me tell you how you've been married as long as we have. Let me tell you how this works.
Right.
So I said, hey, let's go out to lunch, anniversary, and she was wanting to get out of the house, come into town. So she said, first thing she said when I said that, she said, okay, that's fine, but we're not going to go eat pizza. And I said, well, then we're not going to the Mexican restaurant because we've gone the last two times. So she said, all right, how about Chinese? I said, deal.
Okay.
That, folks, that is in a microcosm. That's how you make a marriage
that's
work.
Marriage right there.
I do have to ask the question. Sometimes during anniversaries, husband and wives go out in the evening. Is it because there's a hockey game tonight?
No.
That's
no.
out in June, surely.
No, my
no there is
not,
a hockey game.
There
tonight.
Is a hockey game, and my team's not in it, so I could care less.
Oh, you're
really.
Talking about the Stanley Cup Finals.
Stanley
yes.
Cup
okay,
Finals.
Gotcha.
Well,
okay.
Here's the thing. We talked about that, and we
that
don't get presents.
We don't.
Yep.
That did come up as a possible reason why we want to be doing dinner.
Well, let me explain before you guys jump on me. No, we didn't talk about the hockey thing.
Oh, okay.
We did talk about going out tonight, and I said, I don't want to go, you know, middle of the week. We'll wait till the weekend. We don't, you know, for anniversaries, we don't, like, get each other presents or anything. We just, you know, go out and get.
Right.
Same thing at Christmas, didn't you tell us?
Yeah. No, we don't get Christmas presents either. You know, when our kids were little, all the money like went for kids, and now it's grandkids.
I like the way, as married people get older, they just flat out take each other for granted.
That's right.
They get stingy. Out.
Right, right.
That's exactly right.
Here's the way we work things. If you want something, I like books.
Okay. Right.
So I want a book, I get a book.
You get a book.
She just got a bird. All right. Just this past weekend.
She got a what did you say?
A bird.
What kind of bird?
I don't know. It's some kind of colorful parrot-looking thing. It better not insult me. That's
I like how it parrot-looking
thing. It starts calling me names. Ring its little neck.
Oh, my
Tell
word.
Tell my wife. I don't know what happened. Its head fell off.
He was here. She was here. They're gone now.
Tales of old married people right here on Today's Issues. Allison, I kind of the same way around Christmas. We're like, okay, what do you want? I don't want anything. What do you want? Let's save the money and go to the beach. How about that?
We don't really need anything. So.
Right. All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. Thanks for listening. If you want to join us live on Facebook, we video stream this show. So Facebook Live, type in Today's Issues, and then you can also go to streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. All right, so yesterday, Ray, you weren't on with us, but we went over former President Trump's potential legal problems that he, in fact, he's in Miami today to be in, what do you call it, arraigned?
Arraigned, 2 right. o'clock this afternoon central.
For the court case there. And so we reviewed his case yesterday and his vulnerabilities here, and today in the name of fairness and impartiality, we're switching over to current President Joe Biden, and he could be in a world of trouble far beyond what Trump is, if the allegations are true, far beyond what Trump faces.
Yeah.
In terms of serious, well, I don't know. How would you categorize?
I think Biden's in more trouble.
Okay,
than,
that's what
than
I'm
Donald
trying to
Trump.
Say.
I mean, this
potentially.
This Fred, and we'll let you kick this off. By the way, we are going to talk with Jenna Ellis, host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning, heard at 7 a.m. Central Time on AFR at the bottom of the hour at 10:30. We're going to get her take on the potential problems for the sitting president. But Fred, it just looks. If the stuff is true that's coming out, it just looks like plain old bribery and corruption.
At a very high level.
Yes.
Well, I think most of our listeners have heard about the FBI's Form 1023. This has come up a number of times over the last 2 or 3 weeks. This is a form the FBI uses when they interview somebody. They have a source, and the 1023 outlines what this source said. The Republicans have been after a full copy of this source, the FBI, because this person has come forward and said the Bidens were involved with a pay-to-play type crime, I would call it, with people in the Ukraine. This has to deal with Burisma, who you remember, Joe Biden's son Hunter, got magically put on the board of Burisma, an energy company in Ukraine. All right. So the House Oversight Committee, run by the Republicans, have been after this 1023. Christopher Wray, the FBI, first said the 1023 doesn't exist about this. Then he found out, well, the Republicans do know it exists. So the Republicans said, well, we want to have a look at the whole copy. Christopher Wray eventually agrees to a redacted copy of this.
After being threatened
after
with
being
contempt of Congress.
After being threatened with contempt of court. But here's what happened yesterday. Senator Chuck Grassley gets up. He has been in contact with a whistleblower within the FBI who has given him all kinds of information on this 1023. And what Grassley got up and told the public yesterday in the Senate is that, by the way, on this 1023, the redacted portion includes information that the oligarch, the man who runs Burisma in the Ukraine, recorded his conversations with then Vice President Joe Biden. What we are told in these recordings, there's at least two of the 15 or 17 recordings, there's a difference there, but at least two of the recordings is Joe Biden's voice. And basically what we are told is that Joe Biden agreed to do certain things in return for millions of dollars. We are told it's at least $5 million. Some people say $10 million from this Burisma head. All right? So that's the big... Here's a little bit of what Grassley had to say yesterday in the Senate. Cut one.
These recordings were allegedly kept as a sort of insurance policy for the foreign national in case that he got into a tight spot.
Yeah, well, that tight spot about to be revealed to the American public. If he still has these recordings, if the Burisma head still has these recordings, he better get some security.
Yeah, because the damage that could be done to the not only the sitting president,
yes,
but his whole family.
Yes.
All right? And I'll tell you something else. We're saying if this is true, and we are looking at what Congress is saying and members of Congress who are saying, who are in the know as to what this, not only could there be trouble for the Bidens, but Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, should be impeached.
Yes.
Because it was redacted.
Yes.
This information was redacted. Christopher Wray was trying to hide this from Congress, which has oversight.
It's not a classified document.
No, it's not. It's a summary statement.
Yes.
Okay. He wouldn't hand it over on a subpoena.
That's Wray, unbelievable.
What does this look like to you?
Well, it certainly smells like a deliberate cover up. I mean, if these tapes really exist, this is a bombshell. This is a scandal of momentous proportions, because you're talking about the sitting vice president at the time making a pay-for-play deal in the millions of dollars.
Go ahead.
No.
Well, let me just say why this rings true. And, of course, as they say, as with former President Trump, everybody gets their day in court, right?
Right.
These are allegations. So, but here's why this rings true to me. It's well documented that Hunter Biden, who had no experience in this field of oil and gas, was that what it
was?
Energy,
yeah.
Energy, was paid like 80 and 90 grand or something, 60 grand a month from Burisma, the company we're talking about in the Ukraine. For what? Yeah, we all know for what. Because he had access to his father, who was the vice president.
Yes.
That's undisputed. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of Democrats would say was, you know, there's no crime in a vice president's children making money here or abroad. Okay, well, that's a very flippant answer to what appears to be what is obviously paying money to gain access to or the influence peddling on the part of Hunter Biden. And you got Hunter Biden's you got Hunter Biden's laptop, which yesterday and a U.S. assistant DA, U.S. assistant attorney in Manhattan was quoted. I don't have the gentleman's name here. He sounds like to me he's an impartial person. He said the laptop could have investigated in 5 weeks. They've had it for 5 years and haven't done squat. So all this combines just stinks to high heaven and makes it appear like the FBI is covering for Biden and the Democrats.
And one more quick reminder. Remember that video of Joe Biden, Vice President Joe Biden? He's in the Ukraine. He's talking to Ukrainian officials.
And he's bragging.
And he's bragging. There was an investigation of Burisma going on.
Right.
And basically, it appears that Vice President Joe Biden held a gun to the head of the Ukrainians and said, back that prosecutor off.
Or we're not sending you money.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Well, Jenna Ellis will be with us at the bottom of the hour.
Yes.
And she can delve into this more. But this looks really bad for President Biden and his family right now. Joining us from North Carolina is our good friend Frank Turek. Good morning, Frank.
Maybe he just needed money for a new laptop.
But a boom. That was a good one, Frank. That was a new lap. What kind of person leaves a laptop at a repair shop and doesn't go back to get it, which has all that kind of salacious, incriminating pictures and information on it?
Tim, have you ever... You ever
been strung out on drugs?
Yeah, you ever been strung out on drugs?
I know, but you would have to be strung out on drugs for days on end to forget your laptop.
I hear that's the way it works. Oh, but Frank, Dr. Frank Turek might know.
Right. Go ahead. Anyway, what were we supposed to talk to you about, Frank?
Well, we're talking about the fact that the state of California now wants to punish parents who do not affirm their child. Their three-year-old, who's a boy who thinks he's a girl, if you don't affirm that boy that he really is a girl, the state of California may come take that child away from you. And you know what they're doing? They're just echoing what President Biden said on March 31st, 2022, when he said the feds may do that as well.
Biden said that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, he said it through his Health and Human Services division there, that they put out a memo that basically said, "Yeah, if you don't participate in gender affirming care, you're at risk of losing your child in the name of inclusion, tolerance, and diversity." I might add.
Yeah, it was really interesting last week during an event at the White House on the same day that Biden had invited everybody in,
right?
LGBTQ crowd. During a news conference, he was asked about all of this, and he was very critical of states that have taken steps, like Florida, like Texas, like other states, to protect young people from gender manipulation procedures. Joe Biden used this phrase a couple of times. He says they are our children.
Yeah.
Now, folks, don't dismiss that. This is the Hillary Clinton it takes a village mindset.
Right.
That those children really don't belong to the parents. They belong to the state.
Yes.
That is what Joe, and that is the mentality that's going into this proposed California bill, and also that we are seeing endorsed by media. We have this story, I think, Tim, you sent it out, Disney-owned ABC, running a story about a three-year-old, they say, who said to mommy and daddy, I feel like a girl. And the story is about, supposedly, parents with transgender kids who want to leave Florida and Texas, and they say flee to transgender-friendly states.
Frank, why in the world would a company like Disney, all right, or companies like Target that are all in and promoting transgender, why is this? The from all estimates, the percentage of people in this country, the highest I've seen percentage of people who consider themselves truly transgender is like 0.07 of a, I mean, it's minuscule. It's a fraction of 1%. Why the investment on the part of Disney and people like that?
You want to know the real answer?
I
For
do.
The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened.
I think
that's
just
Romans 1:18-21. When you continue to suppress the truth about God and you don't give thanks and you think you are God, that you can actually change your biology, which, as we all know, is impossible, you get involved in futile thinking. And if you keep reading that passage to the end of the chapter, he basically says that they're given over to a depraved mind where they're not only doing evil things, they're cheering on other people who are doing evil. And if that's not a perfect description of our culture today, written 2,000 years ago, I don't know what is. We're cheering people on who are doing evil. We're encouraging evil. And, of course, Isaiah says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And that's what we're doing. We're calling evil good and good evil. I mean, Fred, if your daughter thought she was a mermaid, would you take her off the coast and drop her in the ocean?
Of course not. Of course not.
And he's Canadian, and even he wouldn't do it. Fred would do that.
I know.
Hey, Ray, go ahead. You got a question for Frank on this?
Okay, Frank, just following up on that. We had the shocking picture that came out a few days ago of the pride flag on the front of the White House with the American flag flanking it off to the sides. I've been thinking to myself, in my lifetime, can I remember anything like this? What does it mean to you? What does it signify to you that our government has seen fit to take the pride flag and really push the American flag off to the side and hang it from the front of the White House? What should we take from that?
Well, I think we should take from it that the church has been too silent, that people have not been engaged enough. And it also shows the futile thinking and the rebellion people have. Because, look, even if you don't think there's anything wrong with homosexual behavior, and of course we know there is, it's scriptural and it's against natural law, but even if you were to say there's nothing morally wrong with it, you cannot build a civilization on homosexuality. The civilization would be over if you tried to build your civilization on homosexuality. Civilization is built on a biological man and woman coming together, bringing forth the next generation, perpetuating and stabilizing civilization, bringing up children. That's the foundation of civilization. And so for us to be out here celebrating something which does not lead to life, but only leads to disease, is not something that we can build a civilization on. So it's just futile thinking. It's rebellion.
By the way, with the flags you're talking about, the gay pride, is it considered a gay pride or is it LGBTQ?
It's now transgender
Okay, the rainbow flag that they stole from the Bible. Okay, I'm talking about the LGBTQ. They stole the rainbow from the Bible to use it in their own flag. Anyway, this is in conjunction with that you said flew at the White House, which it did. It flew in between two American flags.
It was draped down.
Yeah. Didn't fly, right. Yeah. It was draped. Anyway, that was the same day that Biden had all these LGBTQ activists at the White House out on the lawn, and some of them were stripping down, and there's a story on that on Fox News right now, stripping down. It was just a show of debauchery, quite frankly. And Biden's, I don't know, Biden doesn't know, he didn't know what's going on half the time, I don't think. He does and he doesn't. He knows they're having a gay pride thing, but then he shuffles around, and I don't know that he knows to all the extent of what's happening, even at the White House on the lawn. Anyway, but
hey,
they're celebrating, as Frank said, they're celebrating immorality, unnatural behavior, and sin. Go ahead.
Tim,
yes.
You know, there are some people who identify as homosexual or lesbian, and they realize that if the T's get their way, the transgenders get their way, that they don't exist. Because if there are no fixed genders, there are no LGB people. There are no lesbian, gay, or bisexual, because that requires, and there's no heterosexuals either, that requires fixed genders. And so it's a completely contradictory position to have LGBT together, because T's eradicate the L, the G, and the B.
Because otherwise you're not, quote, born that way.
Right. Well, you're not born that way. And also, by the way, transgenderism couldn't exist unless there were fixed genders. Because if I'm a man and I think I'm a woman, I have to have some idea what a man is and some idea what a woman is to know that I have this dysphoria. Right. And if I'm trying to make the so-called transition, which is also impossible, but if I try it, I have to have some idea what a man is and some idea what a woman is to do so. So transgenderism, on one hand, presupposes fixed genders, and on the other, it tries to say that they're completely fluid. You can't have it both ways. By the way, I just wrote all this in the third edition of the book, Correct, Not Politically Correct, about same-sex marriage and transgenderism.
How can I get that book?
You can get it on our website, you can get it on Amazon, you can get it wherever fine books are sold. And if you go to the bookstore, it's not there. It just means it's sold out again.
What's the name? What's the name of it?
It's Correct, Captain, Not
Captain
Politically
Humble?
Correct. Yeah, it's 10 Steps to Humility and How Humble. I Made It in 7.
Captain Humble.
Captain
That's
Humble.
Right.
Hey, we're glad it's selling out, Frank.
Absolutely.
That means people are waking up.
Absolutely. All right, the show that Frank host on Saturdays and Sundays here on American Family Radio, which is very popular, and you need to tune in if you have it. It's called Cross Examined. It's Saturday mornings at 9 p.m. Saturday mornings at 9 p.m. It's 9 a.m.
9 a.m.
And then Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Standard
That's right.
Time. Right here on American Family Radio. It's called Cross Examined with Dr. Frank Turek. All right, Frank.
This week we're going to have Seth Dillon, the CEO of the Babylon Bee, on, so that ought to be fun.
Oh, man. We love us some Babylon Bee around
That's
here,
right.
man.
That's right.
He's found out there's a culture warhead.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. See you later, Frank.
God bless you guys. See you.
Okay, Jenna Ellis will be up next here on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
Now, back to more of today's issues.
And welcome back, everybody. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman, who had to leave the studio. Nothing wrong. He is just traveling. He's hitting the road, so he had to go catch a flight. He did ask me to remember to tell you that the Holy Land tour that is set up for March, that's March 12th through 20 of 2024 is already over half full. These things fill up very quickly. A lot of excitement about getting back over to the Holy Land after a couple of years of those kinds of tourist destinations being shut down because of COVID and whatnot. So to get more information about that, go to twholyland.com. twholyland.com to find out more information or to book your spot. Anyway, Ed Vitagliano along with Fred Jackson and Ray Pritchard, and we are always pleased to have Jenna Ellis join us when she can. Jenna is host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning, heard at 7 a.m. Central Time on American Family Radio. Jenna, welcome back.
Good morning. Always great to be with you guys.
All right. Well, Jenna, we wanted to, we kind of teased the audience at the beginning of the top of the hour about
Don't
having you
them.
On.
That's so mean.
We want them to stick around. It's like reminding people that after the main course, there is a fantastic dessert and you get people to stick around. But we wanted to talk to you about, and Fred's got, I think, some sound to play here to kind of launch this discussion. We wanted to get your take on the potential, and we do want to be fair here. We're talking about allegations concerning corruption in the Biden administration and the Biden family. Fred, why don't you give our listeners a little update and what kind of sound you have?
Yeah, this is a story, if you've been watching or listening to the mainstream media, you're probably not aware of this story at all. That's another aspect to this. This, Jenna, I know you're well aware of this. This is this Form 1023, the FBI form that they use, but basically outlines interviews with informants. You've heard a lot about this Form 1023. The House Oversight Committee has been after Christopher Wray, head of the FBI. We want to see this. They've gone through a long fight. The Republicans have. They finally got to see a redacted rendition of this form. It's with an informant basically saying that when Joe Biden was vice president, that he had dealings with the head of the energy company in Ukraine, Burisma, which eventually hired his son, Hunter. Now, yesterday, Republican Senator Chuck Grassley, who's been dealing with a whistleblower on this issue, got up and said, hey, what you didn't see in that version the FBI gave you, because it was redacted, was that there are recordings, at least I think the number is 15 or 17 recordings, that the head of Burisma made in his conversations with Joe Biden on this issue. And what we're told is that Biden demanded a pay for play, that he demanded money from Burisma. Because Burisma was being investigated at the time. Remember, Joe Biden was vice president at this point. Well, yesterday or early this morning, the former acting attorney general Matt Whitaker was on Fox News saying this is information that is absolutely explosive. Cut number three.
There's so many issues surrounding this, but remember what my home state Senator Chuck Grassley said. This was redacted from the document they looked at, the 1023 that was Chris Wray finally provided to the House and the Senate. That this information, that there were recordings of the President of the United States talking to a foreign national about bribes, was redacted from that 1023. That's extraordinary in and of itself. Now, the contents, if true, I mean, obviously, this is a cataclysmic event because you just don't have these types of recordings usually available. And if, you know, it will prove essentially what Joe Biden knew and what his scheme was to abuse his power as vice president.
All right, Jenna, we're just going to turn you loose. What do you think about these developments?
Well, I agree completely with Matt Whitaker, and I actually know him very well from my time working for former President Trump, and he's absolutely right. And what I think is so interesting about this is that the Democrats are trying to kind of make this hush-hush, but yet We just saw on Friday the unsealed indictment of former President Trump, and one of the main pieces of evidence that the DOJ is using in that prosecution is a tape of President Trump saying, you know, here you are talking to a reporter and allegedly saying that he knows that this material was secret or classified, so says, you know, don't get too close. And they point to that almost like a smoking gun in the indictment. And now somehow we are just supposed to ignore that there are between 15 and 17 audio recordings, and the American people still have not heard these, and Congress needs to act. I believe for a host of reasons that Joe Biden should stand for impeachment and have a trial in the U.S. Senate. This just gives one other sufficient legal basis because a correct arbiter and a fact finder, which should be the U.S. Senate under Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution, should look at those tapes. The American people should be able to hear those tapes and see for ourselves. Because if, as Matt Whitaker said, is factually true, then that would represent not only criminal but impeachable conduct.
All right, Jenna, let me just ask you this, and then Ray, once Jenna finishes whatever questions you have, jump in. But Jenna, I got to tell you, I am surprised that there are tapes. I'm not surprised. It's kind of a where there's smoke, there's fire kind of thing in terms of the corruption in the Biden administration and the Biden family. But I got to tell you, it seems to me if this is true, then Christopher Wray, as director of the FBI, should be impeached as well, because apparently, according to the whistleblower, the FBI redacted the information that we're talking about right now, which is, according to Matt Whitaker, it is a bombshell. And if Christopher Wray tried to hide that from the House Oversight Committee, he should be impeached as well. Is that going too far or what?
Well, and there would have to be some kind of justifiable basis that he would have redacted this and hid this from the House Oversight Committee. And so, you know, remember, the House Oversight Committee is not law enforcement, but they do have the power of impeachment, and they also have the ability to see this type of information without redactions through security clearances and all that are given to Congress. And they can provide legislative solutions surrounding this. And that's exactly what House Oversight is for, is to keep the coordinate branches accountable. And so there would have to be some legal and justifiable reason, not just the FBI as an executive agency telling the elected members of Congress that are specifically the representatives of we the people, that you can't see this. And so absolutely, I'm frankly disappointed in the Republican majority for not having votes on more impeachments, including Joe Biden and Christopher Wray, among others. So there was some talk about Secretary Mayorkas, but that really didn't go all that far, because it seems like they just have a press conference and then there's no real action on it. What I've actually been very impressed with is Governor Ron DeSantis and his commitment to say, you know, on day one, I'll just fire Christopher Wray, and I can do that. And in fact, he released a very comprehensive plan today to provide oversight as the chief executive, and to say we are going to deal with the weaponization of government by literally gutting all of these agencies from the top executive. And that's really the only thing that I'm convinced will ever truly drain that aspect of the swamp, is if we get a chief executive that is willing to go through the FBI, go through the DOJ, and actually get rid of these bad actors.
Go ahead, Ray.
You know, Jenna, the whole question of the tapes is hugely explosive. So I'm listening to your discussion, which is brilliant. My question to you is, who's got the tapes? Who actually has them? And if they're over there in Ukraine, how does anybody get a hold of those tapes and get them released so the public can hear them?
That's a great question, and one that I would love to know the answer to. And so is that in the possession of the FBI, at least copies? Are these things that now that the public is aware, does Burisma only allege that they have these and perhaps have the only copies? And so there's a potential for destruction of evidence. I mean, I would tend to doubt that they would follow some kind of preservation notice from the FBI. There's no real reason for them to do that. So that's a really great question and just underscores the urgency of why Congress really needs to act on this.
Jen, it's Fred. Just I want to go back and put some context in this. We talked about earlier, back several months ago, there was this videotape of then-Vice President Biden bragging about the fact that he had the prosecutor who was looking into Burisma there in Ukraine fired. He said, I had him fired by the end of the day because the Ukrainians had a prosecutor investigating something going on within Burisma, but all of a sudden that prosecutor goes away. But also in that deal, it appears from Burisma that Biden got millions of dollars. Hunter Biden probably got money too, but he also got that position on the Burisma board. Am I reading all of that historical background correctly?
Yeah, and remember that was the discussion that gave rise to President Trump asking President Zelensky of Ukraine to look into the matter, which led to the first impeachment of Donald Trump.
Yes.
And so this is the whole swamp protecting itself and the deep state protecting their preferred executive, who I believe that at the time the Democrats knew that they wanted to run Joe Biden as their candidate, and whether or not they made deals on the side to get, you know, both Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren to drop out on the same day when Biden really wasn't doing all that well, and that was shortly before all of the COVID nonsense started to come out that allowed Biden to run from his basement. I mean, all of these things, if you go back and you look at the timeline of all of this, it seems very obvious to anybody who doesn't have an agenda or a bias that all of this was designed to protect the Biden crime family so that he could ultimately be in office and continue to destroy America as he has with his policies.
Jenna, last question, then we'll let you go. I was noticing on our Facebook page that several people were commenting that if the House did impeach Christopher Wray or even Joe Biden, it would never pass the Senate, which is obvious. But, I mean, impeachment does play a very important political role. That's why the House has a role separate from the Senate. They don't just have one trial with both chambers combined. The House does the investigation and brings up the charges. That can at least let the American people know what's going on, because they're certainly not going to find out from the media. Is there a role to play with impeachment, even if it doesn't result in a conviction in the Senate?
Absolutely. Transparency and just simply following the rule of law in the U.S. Constitution. I am not at all for politically based impeachments. And in fact, President Trump's first impeachment was shortly before that was when I started initially working for him and was one of his lawyers on the first impeachment. So I'm very well aware of politically based impeachments. But the Article I process that provides Congress with the ability to impeach for justifiable legal reasons not only provides that mechanism and that process, but it provides transparency to the American people, because then House managers, members of Congress, act as the prosecutors and in a very public trial. And even if for political reasons you don't get to that two-thirds majority in the Senate that it takes to convict, you've at least had a public trial and you have attempted to hold these bad actors accountable. That is what the process is for. And potentially whatever comes out in an impeachment, then a future administration, their Department of Justice, if acting honorably and according to the rule of law, could then use some of that material to go and prosecute. So we need to not be so narrow focused just on outcomes, but look at how the process can be used to simply provide transparency and be the first layer of accountability.
Our guest has been Jenna Ellis, who is host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning, heard at 7 a.m. Central Time here on American Family Radio. Jenna, thank you so much for all that you do during the week and all that you have done for our country. Before you started doing radio for us, you've been, and I think probably have a great future ahead of you in terms of influencing our nation. But thank you for being on with us today.
Thank you. Very kind. And I love being part of the AFR family. So thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Jenna. All right, Fred. Do we have anything else related to this, or should we?
Well, related, kind of going back to what I said a few moments ago, the Newsbusters, which looks at news coverage of events.
Yeah.
They're talking over 4 days, June 8th to June the 12th. Yesterday was the 12th. The big three, ABC, CBS, NBC broadcast networks, predictably crammed their evening, morning, and Sunday roundtable shows with a total of 291 minutes of coverage dedicated to the Trump indictment.
Right.
But how much did the Biden Burisma alleged bribery scheme receive? 0 seconds.
Ray, I'm shocked. I'm shocked by that. The legacy media, they're the watchdogs of our republic.
Right. They defend truth and justice in the American way. So they're all over the Trump indictment, right? And not one word. Fred, how is that possible? How is it possible that they give 0 minutes to this story?
Well, it's just further proof, and our audience knows this because they listen to us on a regular basis, and they understand. What has happened in the mainstream media, the so-called legacy media in this country, they have abandoned news journalism principles. They have just abandoned it. Right now, they are working for the Biden administration. That's what it comes down
to. It's absolutely accurate.
Yeah, they are the home of pro-Joe Biden Democratic Party propaganda. That's all there is to it. You know, the head of CNN just got fired.
Yeah.
He just got fired.
And that was because he allowed Trump to have the town hall, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back.
He came in because CNN's ratings were tanking. He came in, he said, we need to move kind of back towards the center with our journalism. And there was a revolt at CNN amongst the journalists. We're not going to have this. And so he got fired. And I think the new person coming in basically has said, okay, we're going back to the days of we're all in on the Democratic Party agenda.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on out there, folks. But the MRC, the Media Research Council, I'll tell you what, they are doing an excellent job on this, and we often talk to them. But here's another media-related story to move on. Mark Zuckerberg, who's CEO, Facebook Meta, I guess it's called now, is it? Claimed recently that the scientific establishment asked his platform to censor posts about COVID-19 that ended up being debatable or true. Now, you got to understand this, folks. This tells the story of the last 3 years. When anybody disagreed with the CDC, with the Biden administration on possible other avenues of treatment for COVID, well, if you mention it on the air, you get shut down.
Right. Which is what happened to us. That's why we're no longer on YouTube.
That's right.
Yeah.
So he is admitting that the pressure came upon, in his case, Facebook, not to publish things. Now he's saying, he's kind of scratching his chin and saying, you know, some of that information that we quashed was true. This is incredible what's going on. It's almost like communist Russia or China.
Right.
We have reached the stage where there is an acceptable narrative that goes out there. Everything else doesn't get published or gets denounced.
You know, Ray, I'm gonna say something here. I don't think it's going to be too controversial, and I don't care. but listen, I have a lot of respect for people who dedicate themselves to medicine and to science. All right? I'm not anti-science. All right? What Dr. Frank Turek frequently says is that he says this. I'm paraphrasing, but I love this. Frank will say, science, when people talk about science has spoken. Science doesn't say anything. Scientists do. And scientists are human beings, and scientists and medical personnel are subject to all the other pressures that the rest of us feel when your job's on the line or you want your peers to approve of what you're saying. And people were always saying, follow the science on COVID. And as it turned out, science was wrong about some of it. Maybe not all of it. They were wrong about some of it. And they, to Fred's point, they quashed any real discussion that could have led us to the actual truth. And so every time someone says, follow the science, I go, like Frank says, science doesn't say anything. Scientists do, and I want to know who's paying their bills.
Well, in this case, we used the phrase earlier on the other story, pay to play. I mean, what was happening with Pfizer and Moderna and these other huge big pharma companies, there was so much money flowing in and out and around the whole COVID-19 thing. So, yes, of course, you've got to get the vaccine. Yes, of course, it's safe. Yes, of course, it's good for the kids. Yes, yes, yes. Do this. Do exactly what the scientific establishment said, and don't dare mention, well, remember hydroxychloroquine. Don't mention ivermectin and
right.
all of that. Things now that we know, we were given certain things as absolute truth in 2020 and 2021 that we now know. At the very least, Ed, things that the scientists said they were certain about, they weren't certain about at all. And it was politically motivated to get people to submit to what the government wanted them to do. It's a shocking thing. Science doesn't say anything. Exactly right, Ed. Scientists
right.
do.
Well, we can move on. I'm just going to say this. When the history is written about those 2 years,
oh, wow.
2020 and 2021, it's going to be words just really fail me. The shock that's going to begin to dawn on the vast majority of us that were put under the heel of state power.
Yes.
And forced, and I don't want to go down the litany of horrors, okay, that happened, you know, from elderly stuffed into nursing homes where they died of COVID to children, the consequences to them being away from their peers, to churches being shut down, to liberties being tossed in the garbage can, okay, in Japan, they're apparently trying to hire people to teach them how to smile again because they've worn masks for it's going to be one of the most shameful moments in human history.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to give a black eye to science and to the medical community because they were in on it.
Yes.
And they're going to have a long time to rehabilitate their image.
Well, one of the states where those restrictions were put in place and people were punished was California.
Right.
And the governor at that time was Gavin Newsom. Even though he put all kinds of restrictions, you know, restaurants were closed down, masks everywhere,
churches,
the whole thing. And, of course, there was an embarrassing moment for the governor because he was caught on video. First, he denied being at a restaurant with no masks.
Right.
But then a video was found. So it was really interesting last night. He's being interviewed by Sean Hannity on Fox. And, of course, Sean Hannity asked him about the restaurant's called French Laundry. That's the name of the restaurant. Asked him about that particular moment. This is what Governor Gavin Newsom had to say. Cut number 9.
Probably shouldn't have gone to the French Laundry.
It was a dumb mistake. It was a terrible mistake. It wasn't illegal. It was wrong. And I totally violated the spirit of what I was preaching. And it was wrong. And I own that. And you know what? For the grace of God, no one else has ever made a mistake. I guess I did. I own that.
Okay. Everybody makes mistakes. However, that was a dumb one.
But it was dumb.
It was, and
I own it. So I don't need to be reminded of it.
Close quarters, no mask. And I'm like, all right. I think it was your birthday party, right?
It was a good friend's 50th birthday party. The restaurant was legally open. It was dumb.
May I speculate?
Yes, go ahead.
If there had never been a video,
right.
an image, I don't think we would ever have heard the story, the mea culpa that he gave last night.
Ray, I'm just going to go out on a limb here. This is not really going out on a limb. Gavin Newsom is priming the pump.
Yes,
if Joe
is.
Biden falters in any way, whether it's health, whether he withdraws, whether the Democratic Party establishment, which I think is a real possibility, comes to him at some point and says this evidence is so damaging, you are not going to be able to run. Gavin Newsom is getting ready to run, and he has no choice but to say what he just said. He has to own it because there's video. So he has two choices. He could either try to defend it, in which case people say, well, there's two sets of rules for the rest of us slobs and then for you guys, or he can do what he just did.
Well, I wouldn't call that a deep repentance, but at least at least he admitted that what he did, he admitted to what he did, he admitted it was wrong, and he was talking really fast there too, yeah. Wasn't he? Trying to get past that.
Well, and he also said in this discussion again with Sean Hannity, he said everyone else has made mistakes. I made a mistake. He said, let's move on. I don't want to be reminded of it. Well, guess what? If you run for president, you're going to be reminded about that and a lot of other things. So we'll have to wait and see. I think he's waiting. I don't know who else would be able to carry the Democratic Party's banner if Joe Biden steps aside for one reason or another. But we'll wait and see. There may be some superstars that we don't know about come out of the woodwork. All right, folks, we're going to take a short 5-minute break for news. When we come back, Chris Woodward will be in the house. More great news straight ahead.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.